Thank you. All right, we'll call this meeting to order. Roll call, I'm here. Councilmember Tom Watson is here and Councilmember Janice Swatman is here for Justin Evans. Approval of the minutes, any issues there?
No, it was perfect.
Perfect, I love that.
Team's doing a great job.
Look at you, great job.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right, move on to personnel update. Ryan.
Yes, thank you. We have written promotion of Joseph Lovett to true lead. We're starting to backfill some of the positions that were left open by some retirements. We had another interview today for the other water lead. Conditional offers, we do have a conditional offer to the police chief candidate, which you know who it is already, but it's not public. We're still conducting the background on him through public safety testing. Do you have an idea when that's going to be completed? They say it takes about 30 days.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it taking longer based off of tenure at the same
agency.
Yeah. Maintenance worker one, we have two conditional offers for those. Not sure where they are with that right now. And we're starting to wind down on our seasonal hires with separating some of those.
Who can leave that accounting? Who's that replacement?
Ellen, who is a probationary employee. And interviews will be taking place next week for that one. And the other upcoming interviews will be on the temporary limited term park maintenance worker. Any other questions?
Yeah. So the usual come and go on.
Yeah. Constant work.
Go in your office.
Are we still, two vacancies for police officer?
Yes, we are.
It looks like we're taking everything, entry, lateral, whatever.
Yeah, we plan on, I think we do have, let's see. Conditional offer potentially on a lateral police officer after our civil service meeting.
Okay.
Level lateral, that's great.
Yeah. And then we're going to start conducting more entry level interviews, which we haven't done for a while, but we do have a good bank of candidates building in our application system. So we'll be able to tap into that and go a little bit more and maybe over the next couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deal with that. Where are we at the rule 9?
I don't think we're. It's.
We have any applications?
We have one possible, but I need to check with Dina on that. And then, we have Public Works seasonals on here, but that's winding down. I don't think that.
Did all those positions get filled, all the seasonal?
Not all of them, but we were pretty close. I think we did a little more than last year at this time. We might have three or four. I'm not sure. We're not filled.
Okay. Question? Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yep.
We'll move on to discussion and action items. So resolution 3175, interagency agreement between Washington State Administrative Code of the Courts, Bonnie Lake Municipal Code. Who's doing this? Is this going to be, there's nobody listed on here. Is it Chuck or the judge? Or
the judge, but the judge isn't here.
Oh, okay.
It's all Chuck.
Yeah, it'd be the judge or Kathy. Judge or Kathy.
Judge right here,
John. It's Kathy.
Oh, okay.
Either one is
must not be that important to them then.
Yeah. It is on consent.
It is John.
Yeah, right. So I think
I could probably tackle it if you need.
The idea of the grant that came in, right, for the
therapeutic
thing. I was trying to come up with that. And basically, yeah, this is on consent for tonight, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple things I can say in regards to the therapeutic core that there's two, I believe.
And the other one is the adding a limited term FTE for
as a manager.
To pay for it.
Right.
This is what's paying for it.
Yeah. So Not that we have anybody to ask questions of, but I don't have any for this. Do you guys have any questions or anything in regards to that?
No, I think it's great doing this business. We need that.
Okay, well, that makes it easy.
That's easy.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
It's about a consent agenda thing,
right? Yeah, thanks. It's a great deal. It's been they've done a great job with it for the past year doing the therapeutic court. I know Councilmember Watson has been to a couple of the graduations. I went to at least one, maybe two.
Was there a public school in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When you have even one graduation from that, you think about the number of crimes basically you stopped that, you know, they're not doing. It has a exponential effect.
I think that they learn a lot going through it. And hopefully they don't reoccur again. Great. Love the program.
All right, that's good. Next is open committee discussion.
Okay. Jerry, I know back to our decrease in retail sales. I mean, what do you think about the rest of the year? Do you have any other concerns at all?
I think I've kind of already addressed them with you guys in the email.
Right.
As long as it doesn't go below what I'm predicting, we'll be fine. So as long as it stays status quo, I budgeted, what was it, like $1.1 million less than what was anticipated. I don't recall what my email said, but yeah, I'm not concerned at this point. I'm keeping an eye on it. I mean, it's not great, obviously. 20% right. Decrease for 5 months is not great, but I did anticipate it, so.
Doesn't it add up to like almost a couple million off in what we visited?
Yeah. I think what we looked at, I'd have to pull up the email, but I sent you guys all where we're at and what it looked like and when I would kind of start to get worried. So,
yeah. But does it miss the projection of the budgeted amount, or is it just, you know, the extra?
The budgeted. So what we're receiving currently is on target with my budget projection.
Okay.
I wish we were getting more than my budget projection, but no, we're receiving on target with my budget projection.
Yeah. So what's your crystal ball show for the future? You talk to anybody else about they're looking at finance wise and stuff? You think it's
Mean, is this, are you asking me for, you know, stock market advice here? they've been talking about a recession due to the Fed's raising the rates so quickly. And so that's where we're at, right? If the Feds continue to raise the rate, then I think my personal opinion is that's going to really slow things down much, you know, worse than where we're at. I think we're kind of stay on this kind of slower trajectory for quite a while. I don't think it's going to come back to what we were receiving last year in sales tax, probably for another 2 or 3 years.
I see a lot more homes that are sitting not being sold, but it's very high interest rates too.
Yeah, I mean, interest rates are what, 7.5% on a home now? So that's what they were paying in the early 80s, right? So, yeah, I know. It's been a while, and you know, and
long time ago
in a bank account.
Where was I there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people haven't experienced this, right? We were around for it. I don't know if Leslie was or not, but yeah. So it's just a new normal for now.
Did you guys figure out what to do with the function of that stuff yet?
That was actually going to be my next question. There's a couple things. I actually had a meeting with Chris Lear and Scott Nall today, putting them in contact with each other, trying to help everybody move forward. I was a really good meeting. I think there's going to be some positive things that come out of it. Right now, we're waiting for something. I think the city attorney should be contacting everybody in the near future. They're trying to take the temperature of the council on where they stand on how to move forward with moving the Reed property into out of the water fund, essentially. So I have to be careful, I guess, how I say this, but I, just throw it out there. My understanding, there was three doors we could go down. One was we could leave it in the water fund and just let MRAC rent it at full market value, which I don't think they were really in favor of. And they were also doing everything. They're putting everything at risk, right? And we're putting nothing. The other one was to do an interfund loan. And my understanding at the time was that that would have to be repaid within 3 years. And that would be a giant kind of pain in the butt. Sorry, I saw Sherry was shaking her head. She and I have talked a little bit about
that. I can certainly address this. John, are you wanting me to talk about this right now? Or?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Sure, why not?
Okay. So kind of the things we're looking at would be not really an interfund loan, because the general fund can afford to buy the property, right? I just ran some numbers for John. I believe in our quote savings, right, our ending fund balance, I projected we'd end 2024 with about $16 million, 15.5. And you add the $2 million from ARPA, the lost revenues, we're going to end, I believe, right around $17.5 million in the general fund in 2024. Now, that doesn't take into account some things that are still on the table that are going to come forward in a budget amendment. What you're going to do with $450,000 that we can't afford for the recreation, is that coming in out of our savings? I don't know those answers. I don't have them yet. So not knowing those answers, we have about $17.5 million to be able to buy the property. Last we checked, the property was worth about $4.1, $4.2 million, and they're doing an updated appraisal on that right now. So once we get that number, if the council chose to purchase the property from the general fund, it's my opinion that you could afford it. It's no different than you guys transferring that $3 million, I believe it was, to $2.8 million to the parks fund. That money's there for capital type improvements. So that's property purchases. It could be street improvements. It cannot just be transferred to the water fund just because we want to. That's just not viable. It's not a legit reason, but buying property is. Another option you have is that the folks could lease our property from the water department. That's another option, and just pay the lease to the water department and it stays as the water department's property. So there's options there.
But yeah, the one I'm most interested in, I think the council would be most interested in purchasing it out of the general fund and getting it out of the water fund at the whatever that ends up being, that whatever that amount ends up being. And part of the reasoning for that was we had moved almost $3 million for ARPA funds, right? Mm-hmm. That we had put under police services. And basically that was essentially to not allow it to go back to the feds, right? But one of the things we had all kind of talked about initially when ARPA kind of first came around is we wanted some of that money to go to water. And so this would essentially do that. It would put that money into the water fund, and it would also basically buy out that property to put it into our parks deal. So to me, that makes the most sense. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping for. I think it makes a ton of sense to do that. And it gets us moving, because then the other thing is, like, the Breed property, we bought that some 20-some years ago. It's been sitting, apparently, doing, I think, 2004 or 5. It's been sitting there, kind of doing nothing, just kind of sitting there, right? And this gives us an opportunity to actually do something with it, something positive for the city, actually moves parks forward. We get to put fields out there, essentially. Well, somebody else does, actually, and we're not. But it then frees up the opportunity to do other things with both Allen York Park and Midtown Park.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a win-win. But we'll have to see how everybody feels.
Money off the property? You mean I'm doing that?
No.
Or just to break
even? I don't think you're not going to make money.
Yeah, well, I just want to know where the funds are, because...
No, yeah, so it has to be...
More, taking over what?
More.
So...
Yes.
It's an arm's length transaction. So the one fund would pay the actual, you know, it, well, as close to arm's length as you can, right? We own it and we're transferring it to us. But since it's a proprietary fund, it has to receive what the property's worth. So that's why we're getting it appraised. And
Jerry, I would, of course, just to be obnoxious like I normally am, you know, you could buy it. In my opinion, of course, I know I realize that you guys probably differ, but, you know, it comes back as a $4 million assessment, and you could sell it to the general fund for $5, but, you know.
No, we've actually already talked to the attorney, and she said it has to be, since it's a proprietary fund, that it has to be an arm's length.
Yeah, I know. I understand, but she's actually wrong. But I know we were different with that. You know, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. She quoted some case law. So, yeah, you can definitely talk to her about that. I'm not. Yeah, I asked her what we could pay or what we had to pay, and she came back with some case law. So
that's fine. So I don't know why you wouldn't go the lease route then, you know, why you wouldn't just lease it to them for $1 a year. And keep it in the water fund. Would that be
so,
why would you?
That was another legal reason. They had said that, yeah. So because it's water property right now, it can't benefit the general public. But if it's parks property, it can benefit the general public. So that was the difference, because sitting it as a water property. So if you if you think of it this way. If the general fund buys it and decides in, you know, a new council in 10 years that they don't want it anymore, they could sell it, right? And the general fund gets that money back.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's not like anyone's losing. You're literally just transferring it from water, and you're moving the money over to, you know, from general fund to water.
Yeah. The other thing I would throw out was the idea that if we do that and put it into parks fund or general fund, essentially we could annex that property and then they could run through us for permitting and all that kind of stuff. Right?
It's not been annexed yet.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Without utility purposes, I think?
There's the municipal purposes annexation. So even if it were a park property, we could, even though it's an island, you know, city-owned property, you know, not contiguous to our urban growth area, we can annex it for municipal purposes.
Yeah. Do you think Pierce County would let us get away with that? I know we've almost before.
You know, they let us get away with it with the Public Services Center site. They did raise a stink at it about it, but since that time, the clerk of the Boundary Review Board has since retired. There's a new clerk running the Boundary Review Board.
I'm in talks with Dave Morrell in regards to it. We're also in talks with obviously our MRSC, our MRAC, the Muckleshoot Indian Tribe, now Kathy Dahlquist with pickleball. Like there's a lot of stakeholders we're getting involved that are excited about the project should it move forward. So I'm super excited about it. As John knows, because I keep pushing.
Really, Terry? That's shocking to me.
I hadn't noticed. There's a lot going on. I'm going to keep pushing.
Wasn't there a more question about the Parks and Rec at one point?
Those are going down to basically two separate tracks. One is the Reed property, and one is the Rec program. We've kind of been waiting. Actually, that was my next question, was going to be to Chuck as far as like where are we with the ILA with the school district. And that's just for a 1 year term, but everything's kind of waiting on that before we can ever move forward with anything else with the Rec program.
And Jennifer and I have met with the school district 3 times this week, so twice yesterday, once today. We are 99.9% there. We are waiting on some adjusted language in regards to background checks. They're very adamant that we do State Patrol fingerprinting background checks. Our Pinnacle Investigations does a deeper dive. The main difference is because Pinnacle is a third-party provider, they can only go back 7 years, where State Patrol can go back for convictions as long as it's in Washington State.
Yeah, you're actually getting a rap sheet.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's only for convictions in Washington State. So if, you know, Brian came from Oregon and his rap sheet was this high, State Patrol background check will say he's squeaky clean.
Right.
Where Pinnacle will pull everything 7 years nationwide.
What if we just do both?
That is our, well, the main issue is we're stuck with wet fingerprints. We don't have a live scan machine. We have no way to send it electronically. The school district has a live scan machine, but it'd be too cumbersome for them to help us out in that.
How do we not have a live scan machine?
We had one 10 plus years ago.
I remember it was down in the booking area. Yeah.
Beast. It never uploaded correctly. We would get rejections constantly. It is a big boat anchor. I know this last year, Kathy's not on it, but the bailiff and the court have been looking at a grant to get a new one.
Yeah.
Something updated, and that would be fantastic. They are fairly expensive still for what they actually are. Yeah. You know, a scanner and a desktop computer is $10,000, apparently. What we're looking at the language being, if we do Pinnacle and we do a watch background check, yep. We can hire, we can start them, and then we can still have that fingerprint in the works pending, but we can actually start these employees. And the kind of stumbling block with the school district was just kind of an understanding is we're not talking about full-time permanent employees is not the heartburn. It's the 16-year-old soccer ref that's going to work 6 weekends,
right.
And that's it. And right. We're, you know, doing all this background check for that individual. The other thing is we do Pinnacle, the recreation does Pinnacle background checks annually for every person, where the school district does their state patrol check once. And then they can go and do whatever they want, and there's no additional background checks right. In the school district. But like I said, the last little stumbling point is for our volunteers. We have about 140 volunteers. School district's policy for volunteers is they just do watch and they do a national sex offender check. Mm-hmm. We're basically wanting to mimic that. We say we don't want to have to do fingerprint checks on all these volunteers. They're hard enough to get volunteers for, but to make them come to the police department Tuesdays and Thursdays between 9 and 11 to actually do a fingerprint. That's the last piece I'm waiting on. Their board meets on the 15th, which is next Wednesday. So we need something done by Friday. We're just waiting on that little bit. I think we're going to make it, we're going to get it done. Just we'll probably be down to the wire on Friday. And as soon as we have it finished and it's that final check through Jennifer, I already have an email set up that you all will receive a copy of it because I don't want citizens calling you Tuesday when the public sees it and not know what's going to get voted on and discussed.
So my question I have for Terry and for you too, what are these two programs going to do also? So are we going to make any money or break even between yours or the city and what you're doing?
So
originally, I thought we were going to make any money on your program. But that
you're not going to make any money on recreation. You're going to lose money.
You're going to lose on half of it.
Part of the agenda bill that I'm bringing forward is very blunt in saying that you will have at least a $450,000 shortfall for this year term. I know that the rec department is working on a cost recovery plan, but they're working on a plan. They can't tell you how much of that they're going to be able to make up. So I can't tell you it's only going to be $200,000. Because there's not a plan yet. So I'm telling you the worst news possible. It's at least $450,000. It would have to be a budget amendment if you're going to approve this ILA. If it's less than that, great. But I can't promise you,
you know, wishful thinking. It's so ridiculous with Sumner backing out before they did, and that we look like the bad person now because if we don't do it, it's all Blind Lake's fault. Even though we're trying to keep something going that's cost us money, we try to keep it going. We took over the program. We should have been the heroes. Now we're the left the whole program. We don't approve it. So we're caught, which I don't think we should be doing some of this cost of that kind of money because one of the challenges is right now. You know, and it's a lot to do with the bird stuff.
This is a 1 year term. And the
Sherry will say something.
The water in the pool says this is a 1 year term. Not
that 400 sorry. that $450,000 will come out of your savings. It, we do not have the money in the general fund for that, except out of your savings. So if you choose to, you know, continue to keep a program of some sort that looks the same, it's going to be about that every year that we don't have the money for.
How does it cost that much, though? Isn't there kind of like, you would think that the people that run this program, because they came before us and some of them were pretty adamant about being able to run the program cost effectively, that they would have a solution that they could say, well, no, it doesn't cost $450,000.
It was cost effective when before and after care, what they're looking at is the programs are cost effective if you take out the recreation salaries, which you can't do. So the programs fund themselves, but only, you know, Pee Wee Soccer funds Pee Wee Soccer, but it doesn't.
They don't fund the people
and the administration. Overhead.
Why can't but that's why I think if we move forward eventually with MRAC and they're doing the administration portion of it, I think we can save ourselves a lot of money. You know, typically private business, private industry does a lot better than government in doing these types of programs.
I just don't see why school district wouldn't figure this out themselves. I realize they're changing companies, but when they have the facilities, they have the people.
They don't want to be.
That is what it is.
I've asked many times if they're interested in taking it back. They're not.
So there's no plan from the folks, which is very strange. Because, you know, it seems to me that the council is being asked to approve a program that there's no financial plan behind. Because when I hired extra police officers, I knew that was a financial hit. And I knew how that worked out in my budget. This one, I'm kind of hearing that, well, it's going to cost you $450,000 max.
So I'm not even telling you max, because those numbers are based off of pre-COVID numbers, which was 4 years ago, and we've had inflation.
But we should have a budget involved in the program, right? Shouldn't the council be able to look and say, this program cost us X?
And, you know, I'm pretty confident in the 450 number that I provided Chuck, between salaries and, as long as they're taking in some revenue for the program, I'm pretty confident in that 450 number. So I wouldn't get too rung around, you know, it being max. I'm pretty confident in that number. Obviously it could change depending on AFSCME negotiations, but I don't anticipate it changing so much drastically from that 450. The difference is Chuck was talking about, is they're talking about presenting you guys with some sort of cost recovery. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know if it can even sustain what they're putting on paper, saying, you know, we think we're going to get $100 and it's only going to cost us $60. So you're going to make $40. We can't verify that. We have nothing to verify that program under at this point. I know that David has said that Maple Valley is at 59% cost recovery is what they try to get out of their program, which means we're still down $266,000 if they're able to get 59%.
Yeah, but it's like any other like city function that costs us money, right? The police don't recover their total cost. You know, we go into it knowing that, you know, we want to have police officers. It's going to cost us this much.
Right.
You budget for it or what have you.
An example would be the senior center.
Yeah.
It costs you a lot more than what they bring in.
So okay. We want
the program. So when the...
But the program, the problem with the senior center is in Bonnie Lake. These kids are from Sumner and Bonnie Lake.
Yes. That's where we're tied with the school district. The school district says, you're using our facilities, you can't charge any of our kids anything more.
John, have you reached out to Kathy or the mayor since she's taken over, that she interested in getting this back in, within their hands? I know, just disappointed.
It's hard for us.
Yeah, Chuck, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Sumner City Administrator came to at least a couple of the early kickoff meetings.
He voiced an interest after talking about before and after care. He didn't have any interest in that. He never attended a meeting.
Okay.
I mean, we're in this boat because everybody wanted to get rid of before and after care, right? It was fine, and it was, well, except during COVID. It was back on the plan to sustain itself. The problem happened mid-budget. We're taking out half of our income from the program, more than half of the income from the program, and now you're left with this is the reality you have. And I think I was pretty clear up front that if you got rid of before and after care, you would be faced with a reality like this. That it's going to cost the general fund.
I didn't want to get rid of that. I knew that. And I thought this new service they had was going to help take care of that problem. Obviously, I'm wrong in that entirely. I thought that's the way we were going down 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. But I mean, before and after is a money problem for it.
So the before and after now is going with Right at School. So we don't have that income, right? What you're left with now is the things like the father-daughter dance. Does the city need to be involved in that? That's a council question. I don't know. Chuck can probably name off some of the programs that were running through the recreation program better than I can. But, you know, soccer leagues and, you know, school football and cheer camp, those sorts of things.
Yeah. I would have almost equated to if you watch any of those shows that like bar rescue or restaurant rescue type stuff, they come in and they're like, you're offering too many things. You got 30 things on your menu. You need to knock it down to 10, right? Yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Recreation Impossible.
It's Recreation Impossible.
Right. Well, you see, I can see, you know, in the MRS, that other concept, being able to pick up a couple of functions, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to pick up the slate that we currently
have. Probably not going to be able to pick up everything. Honestly, yeah, I don't think they could pick up everything.
Right.
And, I think they can pick up a good majority, you know, like the core type stuff. Some of that stuff, either I think somebody else has to take over, or it kind of dies off the bottom.
Some of our money making thing, you know, I'm going under the assumption that it's because a bunch of the council members were there and they said, "Oh yeah, we need to keep this program." Mm-hmm. Meeting with the whatever what was it, the Parks and Rec.
Correct.
Oh, we don't want to get rid of the Parks and Rec program. You know, they said that. And staff got that message too. So some of us were a little more silent in that realm, but in any ways, I think that, you know, the program needs to continue on, right? And I think it will continue on.
I need something for the kids.
I don't think that, you know, whatever happens with the parks and that thing that you're working on, I don't think it's going to take over all the function.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
So I'm looking at this like this is going to be an ongoing thing. X number of hundreds of thousands of dollars to run this program. Okay, so that's like everything else in the budget area. Are we going to be able to sustain? How do we do that, right? It's sustainable?
No, it's not in my opinion. So
next year, you're going to be having the same conversation. I assume you're not retiring anytime soon.
Not yet. Yeah, I'm not retiring. I'm not in recreation either.
Right. Let Sherry talk.
She had her hand up.
So I have,
go ahead, Sherry. You got that.
Two comments. I would challenge you to think about what did Parks and Rec look like before we took over the school program? Because we didn't have four employees working for the city of Bonnie Lake running a Parks and Rec program. So is it our responsibility or is it someone else's responsibility? This is truly coming from a financial perspective, but that's a question I would ask you. Is it really our program? Pre-2017, we didn't have these four people working for the city of Bonnie Lake. So that's a question you guys need to solve. The school district.
The city has had interlocals with the school district for recreation since 1991, I believe.
We took all of these people and the schools program and decided we were going to run it and before and after care. So you might want to have a conversation about what you really feel, you know, the Parks and Rec program should look like, does look like. Does it feel like it's just an extension of the school ASB? Because a lot of those programs are ASB. We send the check to the ASB. You know, the teacher does the coaching and the check goes to the ASB. And then the other question I think you need to think about is if you do decide to keep this new 2017 Parks and Rec program, what does that FTE count look like? Because that's something the council gets to choose. does it need to be four people? Because it took four people to run before and after and Parks and Rec. Does it need four people? Does it need two people? So that's another council decision, council question to try to, curtail some of these costs.
Yeah.
From a finance perspective, I think those are important questions.
Part of the plan, right, that I was kind of referring to, Sherry, right? The budget, I treat it like kind of a department. It's a department of Parks and Rec. And you have, a financial plan that rolls up into the rest of the city budget with it. Whether you have one employee or 12 employees, it's all part of that plan, right? And it costs
a certain amount of money. We're cutting it off mid-budget, right? So that's problem number one. Problem number two, this is a pretty contentious issue. I don't think anybody's going to come up forward and say, I want less people, and I don't think you're going to get any department head besides your finance person dumb enough to say, hey, do you really need all those people? because it's a numbers. It's a numbers game for me, right? Yeah. But I don't think John's going to commit political suicide if he says, well, I want it this way. And, David's not going to say he wants less people. Not even Chuck's deal. Chuck just is negotiating this. So Chuck's not going to care what you do with the people. So truly, it's a council thing. And I don't think any of us want to go up in front of all of those people that came to the meeting and say, no, we feel that you can run this on one person, right? The council's going to need to decide what that looks like.
Yeah, but again, for the budgetary requirements, I'm like, hey, I like the program. I think it needs to exist. And I think the city's the best person to do that. Or the government really is, unfortunately, if you're going to have this type of a program because it has so many nuances, whatever, dog training or whatever it is, and a bunch of little nuanced things that they do, fishing or something, I don't know. It costs, X number of hundreds of thousands of dollars to run. It costs some kind of a deficit, right? Don't we have a way to put that in the budget?
It's in the budget, but it's in the budget with before and after care. That's the problem. No, so we're in a mid budget. So I think
it's in the negative column.
It's in the negative? Well, it will be now.
It's an expense, like everything else is, right? I don't think you recover the cost of your department. Probably doesn't recover their full, they're very necessary, but they don't recover costs. They're not a cost.
No, and I'm not suggesting that recreation has to recover all costs either, but I think what the council needs to decide is how much they want to put towards recreation out of their general fund, because it's not something we've ever had to pay for before, other than the summer concerts.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, so I want to put $400,000 in there, so how do I do that?
So if you're saying you want $400,000, great, but what are we reducing, or what are we going to tax? Because we don't have that revenue.
Yeah.
So do you want to do a transportation benefit district, which you could have parks and recreation be part of that? Do you want to do a B&O tax? I mean, yeah.
Okay,
I'll give it to you direct here.
So how come I can add a couple of officers and I didn't have to go out and make a TBD or something?
For the 1 year, you could. It's going to be harder for us to continue to budget and sustain that. You guys pretty much said it's a budget process, right? Exactly. And so those two parks employees that you approved as well, Ryan's going to ask you in a year when we go back to budget that he wants to keep those people. And I'm going to tell you don't have money.
Yeah. Do you do that? Anybody have that 6 year budget line thing kind of done anymore? Or, the long term?
No, I mean, I can certainly do one of those.
Plan that out, right? Because if I'm going to spend, I want to spend an extra $400,000 on this program forever, at least, right? That's what it costs me, because I think it's of value to the city. So,
you're right at your teeter point.
Yeah, so I would say at that point, we have to decide, are we willing to a tax, or like she said, B&O tax or whatnot, or fire some people, whatever that turns out to be in the future.
And council says no,
right?
It has to be done.
Well, and I think some of that's timing, I think, right? Because I think the B&O tax thing last time was not the right time. Now you finish the field, you have potential for
you know, we're negotiating if we ever get to that point with MRAC and whatnot and building out some fields and doing some different things. So now you have something you can present and say, look, we're working towards something. Here's the goal. Like, here's, we can show it to you. This is what, this is where we're going to get on the train. Now, this is the direction we want to go. Then I think the right time is then to do that. It's not right now because we're in election season and I don't think we're there. Right. But I think, yeah. So like currently I can tell you, like, it's on December finance committee, right? Because the election will be over and then some, a new council can take a look at that and decide, hey, we are good with that. I think that's the way to go right now, barring some other great idea.
But is it another budget? When do we do the next biennial?
25.
I start we'll be June, next July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun.
Yeah.
Can't hardly wait.
Carrie's got the answer, though. First year decided to cover the fund, all these programs. I agree, the programs should be done. I just don't see why we should be losing money for them. If we come up with another way to help fund the parks with PET, the employees, and push out the other programs to take care of the school district, and we should throw in.
It wouldn't just be parks, though. So before you were trying to fund capital parks and parks people, it needs to go all to the general fund for your B&O so that I can disperse it properly, which means parks employees, recreation employees, police employees, whatever, you know.
Well, and one of the other things I was talking about with Mr. Lear earlier today, and he had some really good ideas, and he's sitting on that parks board or whatnot, is to potentially in the future sell some properties down here that are the downtown or whatever that was going to be downtown. Sell some of those properties, let some builders build something and add on the parks deal, and that can pay for your parks. So in the future, you can build out your Midtown Park, maybe a new park, and then we haven't even thought about or where that's going to go or whatnot. But that all could help pay for that kind of stuff. There's different ways to do things that I'm learning, because I'm learning a lot. But yeah, as you guys know, you've been here a long time. There's a bunch of different ways to do things, and we can do it a couple different ways. And I think that's going to be probably a conversation for a new council.
We've ignored all those in the past. Just take advantage of those. So that would be a great idea to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it would be really interesting. I'd really love to see, you know, the people that are running the program to put together a plan, a financial plan that the council could look at. Now, they're obviously not going to need it right now. It's amazing that we don't really have one already. It's kind of embarrassing, but it is what it is. You know, you would think that the Parks and Rec folks that actually run the program would be, hey, we could do it for this or this or whatever it is, you know, because they're the people running the program.
Yeah, I think
I absolutely think that's an appropriate ask.
I've seen some emails. I think that is an appropriate question that has been asked, and we still don't have any answers for them.
Sure.
Well, it'd be nice to see, before this thing comes forward for us, council, we need to do this now. Think about this is what we have in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we propose to maybe next year sometime, how to fund these programs. Mm-hmm. That way we're looking at this, not having this deficit every year for us. Yeah, we're okay now.
It's going to be a deficit. How much, right?
Right, but we're going to be able to fund it with other money's coming elsewhere.
Well, that's one way, right?
That's what I'm asking Gary or whomever. This is what they're sharing it together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't have how much it's going to be. I've asked David to come up with that because I wouldn't have a clue. That's not a budget thing. But I will tell you what I think the council could do is permanently delete one of the FTE that's in there. They are currently running with 3 FTE. And not 4. So I think you would be fine to at least permanently remove 1 FTE to save some of those costs.
But whoever the managers are or whatever it is of that kind of organizational entity, you know, is it
David manages.
Under the whoever else is there underneath, whatever. Because that's part of the plan, right? You know, that I'm kind of referring to. I'd like to see the group come up with a plan and say, well, here's your option, right? Because I really hate to, like, look at you know, oh, well, you know, making the assumption that we don't need four employees, maybe we need six employees, but maybe they're a different pay rate. You know, that's to me is a management kind of function. It's those folks that are coming and saying, hey, you know, I'm more looking at the actual dollar amount. So I want to run the Parks and Rec program. And I really do suspect that the city is good at running some version of it, whatever those programs are. But that's more of a numbers game to me. So it's a like, oh, well, you know, here's what it is. I'd hate to dip in there and say, well, you can do that for two employees. You know, it's kind of like, no. Maybe, you know,
and
the conversation
well,
with David.
But I know that he's looking at different scenarios. Not having one full-time employee, but maybe having two part-time employees
yeah.
that are not at the same rate.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So
maybe
they are working on it, but I can't tell you where they are in that.
Maybe it would be something. Could we get something to finance from, say, David in regards to this and what the projection would be? And we give him a date by, I don't know what that is, November, mm-hmm. December?
Yeah.
That we have some ideas so that we can make some informed decisions?
Well, I need you to do a budget amendment before then. So you're going to need to commit
okay.
to spend some money. I'm working on the budget amendment. Oh, Leslie probably has the dates better than I do. Leslie, what was that? October 20-something? We were going to come
yeah.
October
28th? Yeah, I think it was the 24th.
So October 24th, we're bringing the budget amendment to finance. From there, it goes to public hearing, and from public hearing, it goes to workshop, then to council. So in order for me to get everything done, I would need numbers by beginning of October at the latest.
So I was looking back at emails back in July 17th. David had emailed a number of us saying they were looking into a number of options, some of which, you know, Chuck just alluded to, and I just, you know, messaged him, you know, now, you know, asking for an update on that. So we certainly could give him a date. I mean, when do you want him to come back to finance?
Yeah.
Well, so what's the first one in October?
It will be the...
Well, I need it before the first one in October. I have to have my budget amendment ready to go, and it takes a while to get it together. So
unless you... 26th of September.
Are you good with that, Sherry?
The 26th of September.
Hold on. I have some time off, too. I would say before, honestly. So what'd you say, Leslie, 26?
The 12th and the 26th. The 12th is only, it's a month away.
Yeah, I would have to have it no later than the 12th to be able to be prepared for my budget amendment present to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't. Because I'm hearing that they have the same amount of FTEs now that they had when they were running both before and after care and the function rep.
Well, budgeted, they have the same amount of FTE.
They currently only have three. They have two existing employees that have been there forever, and they've got a term limited that
okay.
they hired because they've had some people leave because of the unknown.
Yeah.
Right. So is that,
but then,
hey John, I guess maybe John, is that a reasonable request to have that information from David, say, by that September 12th date?
You said, well, I mean, we're in the middle of event season, but, you know, certainly we can ask him to make it a priority. You know,
and
events
we did
wrap
ask
up
him,
the
when
end
did
of
you say?
The 12th,
July
September
17th
12th. Yep. You know, Bonnie Lake Days is what, the 23rd, 24th?
25th and 26th.
You know, so that's
right.
The end of the
year. Can he get us something
days,
in a month
right?
that says, hey, this is how this could work, right? I mean, it's a month.
Yeah. Yep.
And I already asked for it 30 days ago. So really, that's 60 days he's had to work on it.
There you go.
But and that's kind of why I'm being a little forceful with this, because I know it's been asked already, and now we're asking.
Yeah.
Right?
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do that.
The alternative option. Or on
how it's going to pay for itself, essentially. Or
how. You want to know what the budget
right.
number is.
What does that look like?
I just wanted to make sure we clarify it.
Yeah, for him. Yeah, totally. Does that make sense for everybody?
Yeah,
good. And I just kind of want to throw it out here.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think, without anything written on paper, the school district is interested in extending beyond this year. My gut is they're giving us this year to use their facilities and to figure something out. I would not, in our mind, assume that we can still use some of their facilities after September 2024.
All the more reason to make this REIT property thing happen faster, right? We have facilities available.
Or Midtown.
Both.
They don't know how the program will change. This ILA makes it no longer a joint program. It is a City of Bonnie Lake program, and they are allowing us to use their facilities.
There's so many people talking, it's hard to for John and I to hear what's going on.
We're planning the exit. Sorry.
That's okay. Some of this can wait till after the meeting. Anything else in regards to open discussion? Are we done with this topic?
Yeah.
We're good? Okay. We're done.
It's all over.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you.